Good evening. This is Tuoya, operating as K2BAR, which is a call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Due to the absence of our glorious leader, who is currently in the anaerobics, and who just answered his cell phone, and I said, forgot to start the net, and he said, I'm in the anaerobics camping. Well, I volunteered. So, as is usual, we'll start it with the... Anybody whose call sign begins with the letter A or N, please call K2BR and give your name and say whether you have a question or a comment. Well, we shouldn't all say talk at once. How about anybody whose call begins with KA, KB, or KC? Plane K?
KC2ZMA, Marco, what a question.
Thank you, Marco. Okay, any K's at all? KA, KB, KC, plane K's? Okay, anybody with a W?
Sorry, a little bit late. K2AMI here.
W2JEK.
W2NPR.
Huh? Anybody have a question or a comment?
Either of the above, over.
Okay, I got Tony, I got Don, and I got any of the above. May I please have your call letter?
This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie. Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else who hasn't checked in yet?
W2NPR.
Then P is in Paul or B is in Boy R?
As in National Public Radio.
And please have your name.
Handle here is Hector.
Thank you, Hector. Anybody else who hasn't checked in?
W2CH, Ray and Y Plains.
No questions or comments.
Okay, Ray and White Plains, you won that last one. I did not get no questions, no comments person.
W2LCN, the name here is Rick with no questions or comments. How'd I do on that one?
Perfect, Rick. Anybody else?
W1AU, Bill, no questions, no comments.
Thank you, Bill. KB2ATA.
Connected W2TTT.
Oh, I think that was Gordon checking in. Gordon, is that you, W2TTT? Okay, just between Bill and when I heard the W2TTT, there was a station that was very low. May I please have your call sign and your name?
CJ4WD, Rachel, no questions, no comments.
Thank you, Rachel. Anybody else who hasn't checked in yet?
Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Kilo Papa, Nessa, Nandra Paul.
Okay, I got Kilo Charlie 2, I missed the rest of it.
Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Kilo Papa. My name is Nestor. November Echo Sierra Tango Oscar Romeo. No questions or comments.
Okay, KD2AKP. Nestor, thank you. Anybody else who has checked in yet? Okay. Did anybody have any questions? I have nothing. Nobody hard put a question.
I think Mark had a question.
Was that you, Don?
I said Marco said he had a question, I believe. Over.
Oh, okay. That's great. KC2ZMA, do you have a question?
K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. Yeah, I guess I'm on the top of the hour over here. Top of the top of the list, I guess, Nordy 1 here. But, yeah, I just have a question about power supplies and batteries. I was operating my 25-watt Ranger 10-meter radio. And let me see if I can explain this correctly. But when I operate the radio on full 25 watts and hooked up the battery powered, which is a fully charged battery, a car battery, I think the car battery puts out like 1,000 ampere hours. It's a very powerful battery. Every time I transmit, the display dims when I talk into the mic. So when I put the radio into my home power supply, which I have a Tiermint power supply, it's a 14 amp. I use it for the 2-meter radio I'm using right now. And what happens when I use the power supply is plugged into the wall. And if I use battery powered, it actually displays dims. And I'm not sure what goes on over there. I know there's nothing wrong with the radio. It's basically just to do with the basically the battery, I believe. But I noticed it actually dims when I have battery powered. I don't know if you could explain or there's something wrong with the radio. I don't think there is something wrong with the radio. But it's confused me because the battery is fully charged. Basically, it's a gel lead acid battery. It's fully charged and it powers up to the radio. I'll send it back to net. This is KC2ZMA.
Thank you, Marco. Anybody out there that has any suggestions for
AJ4WD?
Go ahead, Rachel.
I'm going to pose a couple of questions to Marco to see if my thoughts are in line there. You're looking at the voltage, or are you looking at the current draw on the battery that you're seeing a dip? And then on the radio, are you looking at your output power? When you're speaking on the radio, your output power is going to be higher based on your vocal pattern. So you're going to be having a higher or a fluctuation of transmit power based on your conversation. That, in turn, is going to cause a dip in the voltage on your battery because it's going to be drawing more current. And the current load is going to cause a difference on the voltage. So I'm guessing that you're looking at a voltmeter seeing a dip as you're transmitting. Back to Marco.
Now, Rachel, what I have here is the Ranger actually doesn't have any. I'm not looking at voltage or anything like that. I'm just looking at the front. I look at the front display when it shows the megahertz and it shows the SWR meter on the left. And I think I got what you mean. When you talk, you fluctuate the voltage. So when I talk into the mic, I see the display actually kind of like dims. And when I finish talking, it comes back brightness again, basically dims and brights. And maybe I'm not sure exactly how it works, but the power supply that I have hooked up to it at home, which is a regulated power supply, maybe regulates that fluctuation, but the battery can't. But I think I understand what you mean about that. But what I'm actually looking at is on the face of the radio where it shows the megahertz, and that what I see is what it does is fluctuates a bit when I'm on battery power. Over to you.
KJ4WD to net. So what you're saying is the lamp light itself is fluctuating. You're not looking at the meter fluctuating, you're looking at the amount of lumens coming out.
That's correct, yeah. It's just when I'm looking at the front of the display of the radio, that's what this goes in and out. The illumination, correct, the illumination of the display in the front panel.
Do I have it? Good. Marco, I have a two-meter rig that puts out 45 watts. I plug it into the cigarette lighter of my vehicle. As long as I'm driving along and chatting away, my display stays essentially the same. If it dims, it's so small you can't really tell. If I get home, turn off the car, and all of a sudden somebody calls me or I have to talk or whatever, same radio, plugged into the same cigarette lighter. If I key up that radio, the display, the backlighting for the display, which is, happens to be inconsistent, my radio was new in 1983, dims. The whole display dim, as long as I have that mic keyed. And in fact, if I go to low power, which is 5 watts instead of 45 watts, it dims much less. And I would say it's because when the vehicle is running, it's putting out a full 13.8 volts. And when you're on a battery, it's 12.8. And even a good battery will drop a little bit when you key it, depending on how good the battery is. If the battery is really good, it'll drop maybe 12.5 volts. If the battery is like some of the ones I have here from my wheelchair that were new in 1998, well, they'll drop to about 11 volts. So I think that's what you're seeing is the voltage difference, voltage drop. Marco, over to you.
K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. Yeah, I see what you mean. I'm beginning to understand it now a little bit because I didn't actually, since the power supply that I'm using here to this radio right now, it's actually running more than 12 volts. It's like 14, 13, basically equivalent to charging voltage in a car. And I see what you mean. I think I'm not calculating that. Since you're just running off a battery power, it's actually still going to drop even if you, especially if you're running 50 or 100 watts, on it's going to drop its voltage, and that's probably what I'm seeing is right. And I've been using my Ranger 10-meter radio on battery for a while, and I thought that, well, since that's normal, I've seen that happen. Since I've been seeing that happen, it's normal now. But as soon as I hooked up my power supply that I'm hooked up to this radio, it's a pyramid, basically. It's a pyramid power supply. It's 14 amp PS. 14KX, it's extremely powerful regulated power supply, and it doesn't even flinch. The radio doesn't even flinch, and the display doesn't even flinch a bit. But I see what you mean, that's what I'm seeing. Question, I'll get back to that. This is KC2ZMA. 2JEK
with a question.
Go ahead, John.
Engine. EK with a question for you, Marco. Is that a really new battery, or is that, have you had it around a while? And because I think what's happening is the batteries do have a certain amount of internal resistance, and while the load is low, you'll be putting out, let's say, 12.5 volts and or whatever. I don't know what, you know, you'd have to sit down with a voltmeter and read it. And then when you key the thing and start transmitting, of course, you'll deploy more current. Now, a battery has what is known as an internal resistance. And as the battery gets older, even though it's so-called recharged, it sometimes has an internal resistance, which causes the voltage to drop when a load is put on it. So that could be probably what you see. And as long as you're the internal resistance isn't too bad, I'd say you're all right. But I think that you could probably try reading it with a voltmeter see what happens when you turn the go from receive to the transmit mode. Back to that. W2JK.
Thank you, Don. Over to you, Marco.
K2BER, this is KC2ZMA. Yeah, Don, the battery is maybe 2 years or 3 years old or so. I mean, it's a very, it's pretty powerful. It puts out about 1,000 cranking amps battery. Crankin-amp hours. Yeah, crankin-amp hours it puts out. But, yeah, it's pretty strong. It stays up to 12 volts or so. I have a Medtronic battery tester and I checked with that. So it tests out, it's good. But I think that's what I'm seeing though. I'm beginning to understand it. I wasn't calculating the voltage drop when you run straight batteries. I was actually calculating, wasn't calculating the charging voltage that you get from like from a car running at 13 or higher than 12 volts and 13 or so charging voltage, or even a power supply. I'm using those radio that actually puts out about equivalent to charging power from a car running itself. So, I just have one more question. I'll give it back to Matt. This is KC2ZMA back to K2BR. KC2AMI with a comment.
Go ahead, K2AMI.
So just to sum up what the fellows are saying is that your that you're using at home, your pyramid power supply, you identified it as a regulated power supply. Built into the power supply is a regulator that maintains the voltage that comes out of it, regardless of what current you draw. When you're operating a car with a battery in it, there's a regulator in the car. The regulator regulates the output voltage of the battery, of the alternator. Again, there's a regulator. Now, if you have just a plain old battery sitting on a table or on the ground, and you hook up to it, there's no regulator. But there is an internal resistance in the battery, and you will drop a voltage across the resistance of the battery. Older batteries have a higher internal resistance. All batteries have an internal resistance. Newer ones less than older ones. So bear in mind that you don't have a regulator on a battery just sitting there on the ground. You just have a battery, and the more current you draw through that battery, the closer that internal resistance. The voltage drops, and there will be a voltage drop. I think you can visualize what I'm trying to tell you. If you do not have a regulated system with just a battery sitting there, there's no way that you can regulate that voltage. Back to that. Go back to Marco.
Tony, you're a little bit noisy there. Marco, I think what we should expound upon is the idea of a battery. If you drew an actual representation of a battery, it would be a pure voltage source connected to, in series, with a resistor. This resistor stands for the internal resistance of the battery. This means if you draw very little juice, you'll get the full power out of the battery. As soon as your ampere draw starts edging up a little bit, and I imagine with a 25-watt rig, you're probably drawing somewhere around 8 amps, 7 amps. Depends on the radio, how old it is, and so forth. I know my 45-watt radio draws 9.5 amps, so you might be 7 or 8 amps. Okay, to make your power supply into the theoretical equivalent of a battery, get yourself a hefty resistance. It doesn't have to be very big, 0.10, 0.150, something like that. And hook it up in series with your power supply to your radio and see if the display dims. At that point, you can measure the voltage. I suspect that you'll find that that's what you have, the situation where the voltage is dipping because of the resistance. And as Tony said, the power supply is regulated, so even though you're drawing more current from it, its voltage won't dip. It'll just electronically stabilize. So you will not get, you'll get a little tiny bit of dimming just because of the resistance to your leads, but they'll be minimal. Back to you, Marco. K62ZMA, this is KWF.
K2BER, this is KC2ZMA. Yeah, everything is starting to sink in now. I understand it all. It was Just a little confusing because it was happening to me on field day when I was using the battery a lot, even though the battery is fully charged, but I'm beginning to understand the regulated power. I just miscalculated that, but I got it all. It's starting to sink in now. Thanks, everybody. I'll get back to Matt. I heard everything that Tony said. Thanks, Tony. And everybody else. This is KC2ZMA back to K2BAR.
An extreme example of battery internal resistance is my electronic wheelchair. My wheelchair was brand new, sealed lead acid batteries. By the way, I have a 30 amp circuit breaker and I popped it more than once, which means these batteries are capable of putting out more than 30 amps at 24 volts. Think about that as power-wise. I have a voltmeter that they call a gas gauge. When I'm fully charged and it's just sitting there, the voltage reads somewhere around 25.6 volts. That's 12.8 and 12.8. It doesn't usually hit much more above 25.6. It might almost go to 26, but very rarely. Okay, if I start going along with just a little bit of, shall we call it gas, even though it's not a hit to trot a little bit, the voltmeter, which is the gas gauge, starts dipping. If I really give it the goose, that voltmeter can easily hit 22 volts due to the internal resistance of the batteries and the wiring. As soon as I back off on the throttle or just leave go of it completely, come to a stop, the voltage will jump up pretty close to 25.6. And of course, as the day goes on, when I'm doing the 5-mile walk around Central Park, the batteries are getting tired and tighter. The voltage at the resting point will be a little bit lower and lower and lower. When I hit the 24 volts, that's when I want to start taking it easy on mine because I don't believe in running it too low. Even though theoretically go down to 10.8 is the danger point, I'd prefer not to go much below 12. But again, it's the internal resistance of batteries, which theoretically is the voltage or in series would have resisted. But sometime when you see me with my toy, otherwise known as my four-wheel handicapped substitute for electronic wheelchair, you should look at the meter, take a little test of it, and watch that voltmeter dip. Of course, you can do the same thing by putting a voltmeter on your radio.
One of the things that can be done is you can have a DC to DC converter that will give you a regulated voltage out. Another thing that can be done is a capacitor can be put in there so that when those extra loads come on, the capacitor will discharge, filling in the gap. That's what a lot of the audiophiles do when they have these very powerful amplifiers in their cars. They'll have a half a farad or a 1 farad capacitor in their car to carry the load when you have those big bass booms coming out. So, you know, there are options and ways that you can get around that if it becomes an issue and the rig isn't going to be working. Back to net.
Thank you, Rachel. Gordon has one of those DC to DC converters. It's a commercial device. It takes any voltage down to, I think, about 10 volts and converts it to a steady 13.8. Gordon had a particular radio that did not like 12.8 volts. It did not like anything less than 13.5. So he did that. I have a couple 2-farad capacitors. They would work and an audio single to hold to maintain the voltage. They would work on a sideband single, but in your particular case, well, it probably would work because your sideband and your display is probably flickering with your voice. In my case, where there's an FM radio and the power draw is a steady 9.5 because it's FM, the capacitor would only help for a quarter of a second, half a second maybe if I'm lucky, and then it would drop. I would need a DC to DC converter. But since I always run the thing mobile, it's not when I'm sitting in the driveway very rarely, I don't have that problem. If you consider it to be a problem, online, I think I'll go look for a DC to DC converter. I forget who makes it. Does anybody know who makes the DC to DC converter?
There are quite a number of different shops. TowerTech makes one. There's one that's being made for the RV industry. There's one being made for your boating industry. You know, there's a lot of different places that you can go and pick something up like that.
Go ahead.
This is KB2AKB. I am over Echolink, and I have Gordon here in Echolink, WQTT. I believe he's with his cell phone, and he just asked me if you guys can stand by for him. That was the message, over.
Connected, W2TTT.
Hi, Gordon.
Hey guys, I'm finally in. You have to let the repeater drop if I'm actually going to get in. How copy? Over.
You're nice and loud. I just went to the PowerStream webpage. They're called Boost Converter, with a new feature, will not turn off during car starting if voltage stays above 6 volts. The input range is 9 volts DC to 14 volts DC with a steady 13.8, and they come rated for 500 watts, 700 watts, and the tiny one for 120 watts.
And then I'll say something. I got to check in. I'm just going to roll through the campground entrance. I'll be right back. Just give me a second. Okay, I'm in. Hopefully, I'll have a full signal. I've been listening to the net. I'm having a little trouble with the amplitude of the signal. Thank you, Noel, for taking it over tonight on an impromptu basis. I neglected to mention the fact I'll be away this week with scouts up in New York. That Nestor has a new call. Congratulations on your new call, KD2AKP. That's pretty cool. Hopefully, I still have a decent signal into the Echolink. I only have Edge, or if you will, 2G service here, so every so often gets goofy. But I say congratulations to Nestor for his new call sign, KD2AKP. I caught that on there, and thank you for passing along the word to the guys that I'd like to get in. So, back to Ned, N2OEL and the group, W2TTT, over.
Connected, W2TTT.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions or comments for the Ned? Other than Tony's going to tell us when the next Mirror meeting is.
Tony, should I take it?
It's all yours, Tony.
Am I better into the repeater now? Is my signal better?
Yes, nice and loud, almost as loud as Walter, as Gordon.
Okay, this is K2AMI, Tony, and I just want to mention that this is the July 4th weekend, and normally the first Sunday of the month is a Barra meeting. But because it's a holiday weekend, we will not have a meeting this Sunday. It's been postponed to the following week, which is July the 10th. So the next Barra meeting will be on Sunday, July the 10th. Usual time, and it'll be located at the Washington Township Municipal Building or Borough Hall in Washington Township, just off of Pascack Road. There will be Kid Night this week, also in the same building, not at the high school, but in the Washington Township Municipal Building on Tuesday night. So we have coming up Tuesday night, Kid Night, and then next Sunday, not this weekend, but next weekend, the Barra meeting. Okay, back to net.
Thank you, Tony. I knew we needed that reminder. Does anybody else have any questions or comments for Ned? This is K2BR.
KC2ZMA, just one more question about generators.
Go ahead.
This is KC2ZMA. I just, Noel, I saw your generator, your Honda generators at field day, and I can't believe how quiet they were, and you couldn't even smell them, the exhaust or anything like that. They were, never seen anything like them. It was very interesting, and I looked them up, and a little pricey, but I was just curious about the regulating voltage on those things when it comes to the radios, hook up the radios to it. Well, I think obviously you got to hook up a power supply. Well, I'm thinking this power supply hooked to the generator and the power supply hook up to the radio. I'm not too familiar with the setup, but do they work? Were they working pretty well at field day?
I actually haven't used it with the radio, but I am told by other people that have used it that they're relatively quiet on the HF band compared to any normal generator. And only one of the generators is mine. That was the 3KW. The 2KW belongs to NS2K, Jim. We needed both of them because our friend Steve was running QRP, and he needed the second generator for his QRP SB220 amplifier. Did you have any other questions, Marco?
Quiet meaning the noise from the generator won't actually resonate through the radio. Is it really efficient working a radio off of the generator? That was what I'm trying to ask her, actually.
We did some load tests. We put the voltmeter on it with a very short cord. Well, actually, we put the voltmeter in the outlet of the generator with the heater in and adjusted the heater. We went 500, 1,000, and 1,500 watts. And the voltage changed less than a half a volt, so I think it went from 125.4 down to 124.9. It was very, very small in that respect. Of course, when we were feeding D and his station, we had 200 feet of 12-3 wire. There will be some voltage drop. However, since D was only running, I don't think he drew more than 5 amps. Maybe he drew a little bit more when he was working the satellite. Maybe he drew 10 amps. But he evidently had enough because he had no complaints. Thank you, Marco.
Okay, yeah. Maybe in the future I'll probably think of something like that. But those things are pretty neat. You can do is to go camping or just powering a whole bunch of stuff with that. But thank you. I'll give it back to Matt. This is KC2ZMA.
We power the air conditioners in the summer with it, and we power, believe it or not, electric heat in the winter rather than using the camper heat, because we get much better regulation with a couple of small electric heaters than we do with the camper heat, which is 16,000 BTU. And the way it works, it's full blast for a little while, and then it's cold for a while. And so you either get hot enough to throw off the blankets or cold enough to shiver, where the electric heaters are much more steady. I know it sounds inefficient to run a generator for two little electric heaters. That way we can distribute the heat evenly, and we're interested in comfort. Anybody else got any questions or comments for the net? Okay, we're running out of things to talk about, other than discussing flea markets coming up. That's going to be the 10th. Ooh, same day as the Barra meeting. Boy, we're going to be hammed out that day. Any other questions or comments for anybody?
This is W2JCR.
Yes, Jim.
I'd like to make a suggestion, and it's not just on this net. I've noticed it on several of the nets. Net control perhaps should give a little more time. I've noticed I tried to get in about 7 or 8 times now, and when one station comes back, the net control comes right back to them and doesn't leave any time for a second or third station. Just a suggestion, over.
I don't know about the other net controls, but my memory is not good enough to do 3 or 4 stations. Normally the way you check into the net, you key to mic, say, this is, drop it. If nobody else is talking, you keep, and then you come back and say your call and your name. This is the way they did it on the racing net. It seems to work pretty good. Let's try it. Next week we'll do the mirror net on Wednesday night that way. See what happens.
Well, actually, Noel, that's what I was trained to do, and that's what I normally do. And what happens is when I say this isn't let up on the mic, the net control is already responding to the first station that called in.
Well, I'm always open to new things. I'll try it next Wednesday, Tony, especially if Tony reminds me. I have a mind like a sieve on some days, especially when I just get off of work. I'm still thinking of work. I get through at 9 o'clock, so some days you can see there's a really quick transition there. Okay, anybody else have any questions or comments for the net?
W2TTT.
Are you W2TTT or are you calling W2TTT?
All right. Well, I think what Jim was saying is not just during check-in, but even during the net. I mean, there's literally no air between...
and he's not with us anymore. So if he returns, I will let you know. Thank you. Over to you.
W2TTT timeout.
Thank you, Nestor. What I didn't realize, I normally run the Wednesday nut, and we don't have Exolink over at the 7-9 repeater. What I should be doing.
This is a bit of an eye opener. Especially using our phone to and go from there. That's a good idea. And I'm using Jim's to you barely notice it. You put it 100 feet away, you won't notice it at all unless you listen for it. And if I electrically, I do hear a little bit of it on some bands sometimes, depending on where I put my dub. If I'm prudent with that, then I can generally deal with it just fine. The 2KW5W2T.
W2TTT disconnected. Connected W2TTT.
On 9.5 W2TTT.
Yes, we still have the net. We're about to say goodbye to everybody unless somebody has any questions or comments.
Well, good night, everybody, and thank you. Congratulations to Nestor and they said I was using Jim's knife, and I really like it. ARW2T.
Okay, so there's nobody that has any questions or comments. I'm going to say 73 to everybody. Thank the Chesapeake Radio Club for the use of their repeater. And say goodnight, everybody. This is SOA operator K2BX. Return to the repeater to normal operation.
Thank you, Noel. And Joel, W2T from Fish Creek Campground in Lake Clear, New York. W2TTT off and clear.
Oh, you're doing pretty good now. For a while there, you were dropped off. 73, Gordon. And 2OEL.
W2TTT from W2JC. Gordon, it sounds like your next project should be a
and no sooner than key that the network connection dropped. You know, it's 2G technology up here. It'll be replaced probably by LTE or 4G in the next couple of years, but they'll probably skip right over to that. They'll never even use 3G here. 73 and 2OEL, W2TTT.
W2TTT timeout. KD2AKP disconnected. Connected KD2AKP. P.
KP2IHI. KP2AKP calling. KP2IHI. KP2AKP.
KD2AKP disconnected. Connected. KD2AKP. KD2AKP disconnected. Connected. KD2AKP. KD2AKP disconnected. Connected. KD2AKP.